Welcome to Trust the Journey. I'm Melanie Curtis.
And I'm Jason Maledsky.
Our mission is to live, laugh, love, and learn together with you.
We're here to create conscious connections, to grow and to contribute through our practice of openness, honesty, vulnerability, humility, and trust. Trusting the entire journey. As always, with our show, if you get value, please share whenever and however you are so inspired. You can follow us on Instagram. You can leave comments on our website, directly under the episode. There's a comment box there. You can get to our website at www.trustthejourney.today.
If Facebook gives your preference, go ahead and follow us on our individual profiles. We are set to public there, and we share about the show and other stuff there also. I'm Melanie Curtis, and Jay is Jay Moe. So yeah, go follow us there, all the channels, all the good stuff, and right on, family. Let's do this. Thank you so much for being with us. Here we go. Right on, guys. In this episode, we're talking about beginnings, fresh starts, strategic quitting. It's an episode inspired by the new year. And if you've been listening to us for a while, we're trying something different. We're taking advantage of the opportunity of the new year to record and release an episode more real time, to engage in the discussion a little bit more real time to see how that goes.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm fired up about it. It's kind of a curious change.
So I'll just be completely candid. We just started an episode a few minutes ago, and we had to shut it down about 10 or 12 minutes in and start over again. And it's the perfect segue to recognizing this type of opportunity in life and how these moments can present themselves at any time to kind of take a status report, a current, like, well, where are we at right now? How are things going? Do I like the direction I'm headed in, or do I think it's a time to, you know, restart and recheck? And it all relates to our, you know, our presence of moment, to the new year and resolutions, and all these things are happening.
I think it's actually such a curious little micro example of following intentions and aligning your actions with your goals. Like, we've talked about wanting to up our professionalism and really work on, obviously we've been improving our audio, and we've been talking about preparation and just lots of different things to improve the quality of the show, which is exciting and, you know, just something we've discussed. So I love that. It's so funny to me that in the new year, I'm traveling and, you know, we're starting off wanting to start off the new year with sort of a really basically doing what we're intending to do. And the technology gave us the opportunity to choose into that pretty much right away, which I thought was cool. Yeah. I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, I'm happy about the choice to give that a kick. So one of the things our listenership isn't apprised to is that we just had our year-end assessment. So we sat down and we took a couple of hours out of our week, and we just basically took a recap of the work that we've done in the last year, where we started and where we finished and how everything ended up in between, and kind of reevaluated our goals and what actually occurred and the unexpected things that popped up and what we created for ourselves, and kind of, and then assessment of where we're at and how happy we are with the things that we did and the things that we didn't do and the goals that we reached and the goals that we haven't reached, and just did that self-assessment. And that was a really powerful process. I feel really good coming out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I did too. I mean, especially because the way that we started last year, if we go back to last year, because this show is almost a year old. We're pretty close to it becoming, you know, being a year old, which is so cool and interesting in terms of this type of reflection on this type of show about this topic, is that we started without really goals and intentions. So if we're talking about the new year and how people typically, I mean, we had an intention, I guess, that if I reflect back, of course we had an intention, but specificity on the goal was not present for us. And I think I like to distinguish between the two, because I think both can be useful. I think it's unbalanced usually when people only set goals with specificity and they're very connected to the specific way certain things come to pass. And I think it's also risky when you don't have any specificity and you only have this sort of overreaching intention and you're just like, whatever happens, happens. I think there's when there's a combination of both, then more magic can come about because you have this surrender to the process, this openness to how it comes to pass, while also really having intentional actions to sink your teeth into and execute. So I feel like what's cool about at least Trust the Journey and where we are now and what we're how we were reflecting on the new year and the next year is that those things are now coming into our project, which is cool. And personally, I do that as well. I mean, I write a goals list every year, but it's also, I say goals, but I mean goals and intentions.
You know, for the dozen years that I spent as a member of the PD Factory team, one of the greatest values that I realized from that, that experience, from that project, was the annual review retreat, goal analysis, success rate, goal setting. This we would have this annual process that we would do every year, somewhere in the midwinter season, December through February kind of time, usually December, January, which falls in line with the typical time where it happens for most people, which is year end, you know, whether it's a business, whether it's personal life or on the holidays and the new year. We always had this process where we'd gather everybody in the team together and we would sit down and we would recap our year and we'd go through, okay, how did the year go for me? And before we'd even start off saying, how did my year go? We'd pull up what we had written the year before as to what our intentions were for the year. We would have captured them all. They'd all been written down. So, yeah, I plan to attend this many competitions, or I plan to do this much training, or I plan to grow my family in this way. You know, I'm like, I'm going to find out a new household, or I'm going to bring in a new source of income, or I'm going to spend more time doing these projects with my family alongside the team goals. So they were always very well-rounded mixtures of personal work and athletic, you know, goals all compiled together. And then we'd just give like an honest, like gut feel review of the year and just go, yeah, you know, I was really stoked about how well I attended to my training goals. My training went fantastic. And then talk about our, you know, competition goals and say, oh, maybe, you know, some of my competition goals some didn't work, and reassess the whole thing. And the last couple of years, since I haven't been operating in that capacity with the team anymore, I haven't had that process in such a structured way. And yeah, having the chance to introduce that to our organization and Trust the Journey and to reinitiate that external voice of speaking goals and reviewing and also just speaking from the heart, in a sense where it's like, yeah, this is where I feel I am in life. And this is where I feel I'd like my life to be going based on how I'm feeling and my desires and, you know, happiness, fulfillment, all the things I care about. And simply voicing it all and putting it down, sharing it with somebody else, and as well as capturing it and having it there to reflect on, I'm excited already for this new year because I can't wait to get to the end of this year to see how well things worked out based on what we said we want to do for this year.
I so get that. Yeah. It's so funny, like even enjoying the new year celebration and the relaxation of sort of a new year break, you know, where you enjoy time with friends and you enjoy a party or a special disconnection from your cell phone or whatever it is that you do that is part of the holiday, as it were, of the new year. I found myself being just excited to get past the rest, you know, the holiday part of it, even though I'm loving that too. So I was laughing at myself because I know how much the rest serves my actual execution and fire for the goals. It's just such an exciting thing to feel such clarity and excitement around what is to come and what we are building, because we've done the work to clarify and debrief. Like, I'm a huge believer in that debrief process. I do this with clients all the time, whether it's with teams or individuals. It's critical, though, so that if we ask the question of how do we generate motivation, how do we connect to motivation and that energy and aliveness that does get us into action in any direction, you know what I mean? Those conversations around debrief, well, what did we do? What worked? What did we like? What didn't work? What would we like to improve? What are we committed to going forward? You know, what does that look like? How does that feel, et cetera? All of those questions are so useful, and it's so easy to not set aside time for that. And it's just undeniable in my experience, certainly with what we just did with Trust the Journey, but also in just reflecting on my own personal goals, looking at where did I have tick marks on my list last year? What did I say I wanted to do and then didn't do? And, you know, that type of stuff. What came up this year that is now inspired and I want to put on there that wasn't on there before? So that process is hugely useful to me and definitely sparks motivation in me to continue. And anyway, I'm rambling, but I'm very excited about this year. And it's not because it's a new year. It's because we're doing values aligned things, which we talked about a lot.
You know, I'm definitely in the same boat. I feel myself in a period of growth, very, very much, you know, realizing that I'm phasing out of one period of life and phasing into another period of life. And it is very much about growth and change and very positive way. And yeah. I am very excited to see what the new year holds. And I feel very good about the work that's been done in the previous year, even though a lot of it has been very, very challenging. And there were a lot of times when I felt very low emotionally or physically. I feel that those points have been very value realized. You know, that what's come from the investment over 2018 is a good foundation. The points that have been very difficult balance out well with the points that have been highlights. You know, the points that I really value, say, oh, this, I cherish this because it was incredible and it was amazing. Well, I also cherish these because they were very difficult and very hard,
right?
And they give me the balanced perspective that I need going forward in order to have that greater consistency of experience. So I know coming into 2019 that my feelings about where I want to be in my life and the things that I'd like to be working on have really good points of reflection going backwards to not just last year, but through my whole life before. But even if I just round it to go into my 2018 and say, what did my 2018 look like as a whole? And what lessons do I want to carry forward out of it? And what do I want to build? I feel really value realized for what 2018 was as far as a growth year. And it really pushes me into a mindset of being excited about the next phase of what's coming up, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things, I said this in the intro, and I feel like I've mentioned this briefly before, but this idea of also strategic quitting, in the sense that creation and connecting to what we are excited about is one thing, and it's critical. And there's another thing of letting go of things that are holding us down or holding us back or keeping us stuck, or, you know, it could be anything. It could be, you've mentioned this on older episodes, of stepping forward from projects that were no longer a fit for you. And I feel like that's a version of strategic quitting. It could be a relationship that, you know, is ending. It could be a mindset that you have become aware of that you know does not serve you. Yeah. And you then dig into, I don't know, some version of an affirmation or actions that support a new alternate mindset. You know, you engage with friends that inform you of whatever it is that you're needing, whether it's you are loved, you are fun, you are a quality teammate, whatever it is that you might be feeling limited by. I feel like that's another thing to really look at. What can I strategically quit in this new year and be kind of a hardcore badass about it? Be like, yeah, I get it. This is not serving me, no matter what my old, you know, unconscious ideas are trying to tell me.
Well, let me interject with something there. The default, this is very culturally phenomenon based, right? Like the Western culture default for what to do with the new year is to make a resolution, right? What am I going to change? Right. What is it that I'd like to be different? And it seems to me that the default mechanism in our Western culture is, what am I going to stop doing? What am I going to quit? Right? And mm-hmm. I propose a more balanced approach. Proposed a replacement, right? Rather than just saying, okay, I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to quit drinking, or I'm going to go to the gym more, and say, I'm going to focus on a negative aspect in my life, something that I'm unhappy about, and wanting that to be a change to a positive. There can't simply be a target put on removing something that's a negative without also placing in something that's going to be its replacement in agreed. Your life that is the positive aspect, right?
Absolutely agreed, yeah. I mean, it's also the where our brain focuses, it tends to magnify. And so, yeah, it's I love that you made that distinction, because I think that's really important to note, is that if we're quitting, it's like then there's this open space and open energy theoretically that we don't know what to do with. And of course, habitually, we would go back to the habit that we're very used to having.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. It's so totally understandable. Totally. And we have a lot of practice doing our old habits. Of course, we would automatically, without intention towards something new, that we would much more easily slip back into those old habits. It's not like trying to talk about that, like, oh, if you just, you'll slip back into your old habits. It's legitimate. Like, if we do not redirect our focus and energy into something else, it is way harder to continue that plan of not doing whatever that thing is that we don't want to do. You know, smoking, I've never had to quit smoking, but I imagine that's pretty challenging to do without some intentional mindset work and replacement activity or whatever.
For sure. That's a really easy one to relate, because anybody who's ever been a smoker can look at that habit if they've stopped and realize how the greater challenge of quitting smoking is not smoking. It is what to do with the time that you usually spent smoking, because yeah. There is the habitual time dedicated to that addiction, and that time now becomes vacant. And what tends to happen to most people is they use that time to obsess about what they're not doing, which is smoking. So if you pick something to put in that time, which you can now put your attention on, you can generally replace the habit with something much more positive. Something like, if you said, okay, every time I have a craving for a cigarette, I would normally go outside and have a cigarette, because most people smoke outside nowadays, you know, they don't sit and smoke inside their buildings anymore. And so I would say, okay, go for a walk. It needs to be 10 minutes long every single time. You know, you do what you would normally do. Get up out of your seat, you walk out the door, say, I'm going for a smoke, but you go and you just walk 10 minutes. You probably cover 1/10 of a mile, and then right back in the door again and sit down and get back to work. And what did you do? You got exercise, you know?
It makes me think of Brené Brown stuff, how the numbing things that we choose to numb.
Yep.
And it's not that we don't want to do anything. It's that we want to choose things that are theoretically healthy by our judgment. You know, what is a healthy choice? What is a positive choice? What is an aligned, values aligned choice? You know what I'm saying? So that anytime there's a habitual choice, and I mean anytime, it's worthy of reflection to just check ourselves. Just check. You know, why do we do that? You know, there's a, I could look at myself and go, okay, what do I do habitually? You know what I mean? Like, what is it that I had to look at myself in terms of traveling, for example, and how I used to travel so much, and I just got so used to it. Ironically, that I am now traveling at this moment, which I think is that is not lost on me, by the way. But I've said this before, that one of my wins of the year was that I traveled less. And I reflected on a video actually on Facebook. I did a Facebook Live sort of going through a list of 2018 wins and reflecting on those. And one of the things that I shared was about how I traveled less and how I deepened and nurtured friendships with people where I live, which is in New Jersey, New York City area.
Yeah.
Because I would say to myself, like, oh, I didn't feel like I had that many friends or close friendships where I live. And so as a result, I would find myself continuing to leave where I live to go and have these connected experiences with people I love, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. I have no judgment around it. It's just that it was also boxing out this other thing that I really would wanted to create in my life, which was more of a home, community, and friendships with real human beings where I actually live. Mm-hmm. So in order to cultivate that, I had to set an intention to do so. I had to push through some social anxiety to get out and meet new people. I had to be patient through the process of making connections and new friendships. And I had to say no to opportunities that took me on the road. Certainly, I still do say yes to opportunities that take me on the road. Like this week, for example, is totally worth it. I'm very happy to be here. I'm with one of my best friends. I get to see you. I get to see other people that I love and care about. And I get to do a cool skydiving event. I'm very happy about that. You know, so it's not that I never travel and I'm going to the extreme other end. It's just that even good things, it's worth looking at if it might connect to something else or be boxing out something else that you want to create going forward, because we grow and evolve as people. You know, I was perfectly happy not having friends where I live for a long time because I was wanting to be out and about, but that just slowly changed in me. And I'm glad that I realized it and reflected enough to see that and then put intention into it in this last year.
You know, I'm listening to you speak, and I'm relating back to through the process that I've been through the last year, and kind of taking that the assessment meetings that we've had both on our Trust the Journey and as well as the other corporate level meetings that I have. Like, this is a year end time of year, right? Where everybody sits down and you're like, okay, what happened, you know, business wise in my year? What happened family wise in my year? What happened personally in my year? And what intentions do I want to set going forward for myself? And I'm thinking about the relationship between the natural cycle of the solar system, how we're moving into the beginning of the depth of winter right now, which is kind of the time where, for ancestrally speaking, you know, when we go back, this is where we kind of hunker down and we spend the next 3-4 months living off the reserves that we've stored and making a plan for the season coming ahead, for how we're going to invest our energy to ensure that the next time we find ourselves here a year from now, that we're going to be happy with the stocks that we have to carry us through the depths of winter. Now, of course, this is Northern Hemisphere based, right? Because everything is polaric in this world, and it's always opposite of one side as is from the other. So I think about it right now. If I take that same analogy for, you know, if we go back, and there's still a lot of people who live on this kind of a cycle, but if we go back, you know, 100, 150 years ago, and you think about people who lived in the prairies or lived in the heartland of America, and like, if you didn't have a good supply of food stored for the winter, you're going to be in a challenging place to carry your family through. Now, this is very basic, rudimentary survival, but if we relate this to our spiritual beings, if we think about how the same structure works for our growth self. So I go, okay, Jay, look in the mirror, dude. How happy are you with the work you did this year to get you to where you are now? So look at where you are. Really assess yourself. Stare in the mirror. Look yourself in the eye. Stare myself in the mirror. Look myself in the eye. And I say, what choices did you make this year? How well did they work out for you? when you stand and you look at yourself now, and I stand and look at myself as how I'm speaking second, third person here, and I go, okay, I made some really hard choices this year, and I made some very comfortable, easy choices. I made some comfortable, easy choices that stayed on the route that I've been on for a long time. They were known. They were things that I could rely on because I've been doing them forever and they've served me to a certain level because of their
Right.
reliability, their known function. I've made some challenging choices, which meant unknowns ahead because they were risk-based choices. I changed some things. I tried some new things. Some things were successful, some things failed. And then I've got some other areas where I didn't make choices, where I just pretended that everything was okay there, and I ignored those areas and I did not work on them, you know?
Yep.
Or I've done the conscious, like, made a decision and then reverted back to behaving in a pattern that I may have always had as my habitual pattern. So I reneged on some of the choices that I've made in the past. And so I find myself kind of having this period of self-evaluation, and I'm basically looking at my stock of self, you know, just like the farmer, the homesteader is looking in the cold cellar and they're looking at their store of meat, their store of fruits, their store of vegetables, their store of grains. They're looking at their family and they're going, okay, I got to support this many people in my family. I got to last me this long. How many processes did I put in place to ensure the well-being of this, of these beings? And this is
Yeah.
the same thing for myself. I'm like, what choices did I make in 2018 that are ensuring the well-being of this being? And I'm pointing at myself when I say this. And I'm happy with some of the choices that I made. Some of them are very good growth, positive development pieces that I'm like, man, pat myself on the back for the hard work invested into those processes. Other ones, I'm like, I might see a scolding eye from my mother or father looking at me going, you didn't make a very good choice there, son. You know, now you have to pay for that decision, right? And in other areas, I know I had an intention, but I didn't follow through, you know?
Right.
So I find myself in this point where I'm analyzing what I'd like to see change coming into the new season. And it's not based on so much this, like, oh, I want us to make a resolution. It's like I want to resolve something. I more want to continue building the this is like project. I'm my own project here. And I want to
Yeah,
keep
for
refining
sure.
my project and saying what areas of my project are doing really well and what areas of my project are really weak. And just being honest and able to step outside of my own ego enough to really self-assess myself and go, yeah, those were really big failures in your decision making. These were amazing successes in your decision making. And these are kind of areas of, you know, that really are unchanging. So.
Yeah. I love you mentioned earlier in a text or email that we had exchanged about growth 2019 being
Yeah.
like the hashtag, right?
Totally.
Like
Yeah.
hashtag growth 2019. I am a growth, I love growth, obviously. Just my whole life is pretty much designed around growth. Even when I reflect back on my old like self and my former experiences, even in skydiving and teams and the various things I've pursued in the sport, a super constant is I'm so into growth and learning and evolving, and I like that. And it's cool to have consciousness around that because going back to what you said about having spiritual stores, like if we liken it to somebody in the plains back in the day who needed food to get their family through the winter, it's such a powerful piece of reflection to have an awareness of what we need to get through a challenging experience. It could be a challenging experience of pain and healing, or it could be a challenging experience of I'm taking on a big project because I like big things that require more of me to make it happen. And I was saying that to a friend the other day too, about how I really like big projects that actually cannot be accomplished in a single day or a week. And I formerly didn't like that because I used to never be able to relax when something wasn't finished. Like, I would seriously be a workaholic. I would work, 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 and almost consistently be not anxious, but just like on, you know, like my energy. I had a very difficult time relaxing and not working on the things. It's both from a positive perspective, but also the things that needed sort of cleaning up. So on both sides of the energetic house, I used to have trouble having that pause button, which is funny that I'm still working on that, by the way, hashtag growth 2019. But I'm so much better at that. And I reflect on that. I share it because I like because the big projects and those bigger growth healing and those long, you know, those bigger timeline things, those things have such incredible, beautiful fulfillment, like rich life rewards in my experience, that it's way worth working on having the ability to relax in between and allowing loops to be open and working on something longer term and bigger picture and employing patience. That is a big intention of mine, by the way, going forward into 2019, is to slow down. I've said this before, but I have been a high energy person. I just have historically not had a lot of
You're
patience.
You're all zenning your hands out right now. You're like, zen, zen, zen.
God. Jay is seeing me. If you're not watching the YouTube video, you are seeing my hands go into practicing meditative states.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a big thing because I believe it will serve me, which is ironic in itself too, is that I really believe it will allow me to do more of those things that will help me grow and help me serve humanity and all of this stuff.
You know, the thing we were talking about earlier, the debrief process, not everybody is exposed to this, I think, to the same level that we are lucky enough to encounter from our histories in the skydiving world, right? I know that I never really understood what a debrief was until I started skydiving, because there's a process, for those of you who do not jump, that is the basic wraparound for most skydives is you collect a few people together, you decide what is the basic construct of the jump that you want to make, you pre-brief the jump, so you do your dirt dive, right, your walkthrough of the flow of how things are going to go, and you literally like choreograph your dance and do the dance steps in a mocked up way of what is your intention going forward. Then you go and you perform the jump to the best of your abilities and you see how it actually turns out in real world, real flow, real time. Then when you land and you have a period following it called the debrief, where you circle back up, you talk about how your jump experience actually went, what unexpected things happened, how expected things actually turned out, and then go around the circle exchanging information about the desired flow for the jump and the actual outcome of the jump. Now, this process is not just familiar to us as skydivers, but it's used in all types of industries, right? I recently watched a video of UK national flying team, the Red Devils. It's not Red Devils. I think I'm getting the name wrong. Anyways, they're aerobatic aircraft team, like the Blue Angels for the U.S. And they have a process for debriefing, which involves kind of three steps in the process, right? So it talks about first you go ahead and you speak through the things which your general flow of what was planned to happen. And you speak about how things went good or bad and try to be objective in the process and just recognize that there's no mistakes. There's no ego attachment to like, this is just what happened. And if it was a fault, there was a fault, but that's okay, because more or less we're trying to gain the value of objectively observing the outcome rather than to point a finger at somebody for what caused it. Then
yes.
the other people involved in the debrief. Now, this works best in a group setting, but you can also do it individually. The other people in the debrief will then have a chance to speak on their external perspective of the same points if they were able to observe them and offer affirmation or confirmation that that is what that they agree upon that what they saw happening, or that they say, no, I saw things differently, and then subjectively add in their opinion about how they might have handled it the same or they might have handled it differently based on their life experience in relationship to whatever occurred.
Right.
So this piece for me, like, I know that debrief process as a whole, taking that into all different areas of life, whoever we're working with, whatever we're doing, whether it's in family or whether it's in friends groups or whether it's in working groups or whether it's in teams and collectives of people that have projects together, setting that like regularly scheduled points where we're going to step back and kind of self-analyze what how is the process the progress of the project moving forward, so is so important. And allow me to elaborate to what you were just saying, Melanie, about needing those longer term projects in life and the value realized at the end of a really long term project, the relationship to that being so much different to the value of a short term project. So
Yes.
I could think of it like this. Today I might sit down and do sketch a drawing, and I'd start the drawing and finish the drawing today because it's a light sketch, single piece of paper, might only take me an hour to complete it, and a project's done. I give myself a little pat on the back for doing something creative. Compare that to creating something like the Sistine Chapel, where you have a magnificent work of art that takes a decade to complete, the process.
Yeah.
The value of the two things is incomparable, but one is a mul it is a factor of the other. That sketch drawing has to happen, and then times it, a hundredfold to bring it to the Sistine Chapel. And the debrief of that sketch drawing is what develops the strength in our skills to bring us to the point of being able to deliver the bigger project and build what we
So
want in our
true.
lives.
So true. I liken that to business too. One of the jokes in entrepreneurship or whatever is it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. Have you ever heard
Absolutely.
that?
Yeah, totally. I've
Yeah.
been
So it
there.
takes 10 years to be an overnight success. I always joke. I've been joking more and more because I'm almost 10 years to my almost 10 years in for life coaching. And so I'm like, oh, I'm close. I'm very close to being an to overnight
Overnight.
success.
Yeah.
Go me. But that's why people say that is like, say you're creating content or you're writing or you're putting your message out into the world or whatever, the various forms business-wise, like if we're using me as an example, I'm out there in various forms sharing my message, creating, speaking from what I believe in, living into my values, leading by example, all of those things that are relevant to a brand and business like mine. And say I put out some video that just goes viral or is like my content or the way that I, have created or a piece of writing or whatever, something kind of tips. Then what happens, and this is not necessarily going to happen, but meaning it's happened with other people before in a similar creative style business where they'll put something out, goes viral. And then they have the 10 years of all the other work that they've done that then everybody can just gobble up, right? So it's different than if you have a person or a business or whatever that puts out a singular piece of content or does a singular thing, but then builds from there. It's not that that's better or worse or not possible, it totally is. It's just that concept of being an overnight success, 10 year, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. Is that it tends to be supported by the foundation of work. You know what I mean? So whether it's I somebody takes the stage and delivers this really incredible keynote that finally is connected to a person that has significant reach or whatever. Who knows the avenue through which something gets out there more in a bigger way? And Trust the Journey, for example, who knows? You know, but we have luckily our foundation of this project is very young. We have some foundation in our own selves, in our own producing of messaging and content and leadership. But yeah, Trust the Journey as itself individually is quite young, you know? So it's, anyway, it's just very exciting to me. I don't know. I'm sort of reflecting on it, but writing one awesome blog post is different than having 10 years of blog posts that are sitting there.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm thinking about how, you know, I'm just looking at myself as a project and considering like, okay, I divide myself up into different areas. I go, I have my physical self, my body. All right, well, this has been a project that's been going on for 46 years now, almost. Right. And it's, I've definitely had my periods where I'm like, oh, I'm over the hill according to the calendar, you know? So the body's getting old and needs more work, and it's not in that same growth phase anymore. But then I can also shift over to my intellectual side and go, okay, my intellectual side's been in development since I was, you know, a little young, not quite my whole life, you know, because you're not really an intellectual thinker until you hit maybe 7, 9 years old. Then you start to realize things are not, not everybody has the same kind of ability to access every thought that you have. And that sets you off as an individual. And that's where you kind of start the intellectual curve. And mm-hmm. really that starts kicking in different phases. You know, it's like shifting gears through our intellect, right? We have somewhere around our later teens, things start to shift again. And then somewhere around our 30s, intellectually, things start to shift again. And there's different realizations of our place in the world. But then there's also the heart self, you know, the soul being, and like what, where that phase of growth has been. And maybe that's in relationship to relationships, whether it be family, siblings, parents, grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, any of that, or relationships, love relationships, or any kind of soulful meaning relationship that you might carry with another non-family member that's got that love connection, and how those cycle in and out of our life, and how we grow on the soul side, on that connective consciousness side of being. And I'm going to pull this back to the thoughts I have about kind of reviewing my own project. And I go, okay, my intellectual being, my soul being is kind of where my attention is right now. I'm thinking about where I am mindfully, you know, the mindful connection of like, how long have I really been working on this and what phases am I in? And I feel very excited because there's definitely periods of time that where there's growth and periods where there's not. Periods where there's growth, mm-hmm. periods where there's not. And the value that comes from both is, again, relativity of polarity, right? I know those times when I look back and go, man, I was really crushing it during that part of my life right there. That was awesome. And then I had a regression. And there was another period of time where I was really crushing it again. And then there was a recession. And these waves are normal, right? Like they're going to come and go for all of us. Not everybody is going to crush it all the time. There's nobody out there who just is amazing from day one to day zero, you know, when it's over.
Yeah.
We all have our ebbs and flows. And the bigger piece of it is being okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Like just not being attached to that short-term project of today's ebb or flow. Maybe I'm having a rough day today or a rough week or month this month, but the bigger picture project is longer term. It's not even this year. It's this
Absolutely.
Decade and it's this life.
Yeah? Absolutely. And that comes back to the new beginnings, fresh start. All of the ideas that we were introducing this episode around, the new year concept or the fresh start concept or the whatever, beginnings, reassertion. And that's the thing, I say reassertion because sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes it's a continuation because we are a believer and or seeing something from a bigger picture such that it warrants, yeah, okay, maybe I'm not necessarily, this isn't as easy or as inspired at the moment, but I see in the bigger picture that it's still something I want to do, that I'm working through maybe a dip in ease, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think that's worth looking at too. It's funny, spiritual growth, I love that you bring that up, consciousness growth, healing, stuff like that. That is definitely continuing to be on my goals list. I bunny ear the goals, whatever, intentions, goals, whatever word resonates with you is fine, is my point. It's on my list, and I want to share this because I feel like there may be people out there that are like me in the sense that I used to be very focused on those external goals, even though they were values aligned. Like those external goals are values aligned, so they're fulfilling, so they're good. You know, I'm good with that. So it's a positive thing, these external goals and creativity and their values aligned, and I've done some excavation of what values, what matters to me. And it's the self-love piece, the like deep healing, spiritual growth of really connecting to self. I used to find it so annoying when people would say, you just gotta love yourself. Like, so
still annoying.
You know, and I've had clients too that are like, oh my God, that's just the worst, because you're maybe not at a point where you've connected to really releasing and into that type of love. And it's funny, but I reflect on that and I go, that's a huge, huge deal. And you know what? I'm 40 years old, for God's sakes. And I'm still feeling like this is a very rich part of my growth, is self-love, and how I used to be annoyed by that, and how I used to really do those external goals, and they were, and they're great, and I'm not gonna not do those external goals, but to really intentionally care about that deep internal healing and that deep internal love, and recognizing where I feel like that tries to leave me, you know what I mean? Whether it's in friendships or toxic relationships or whatever, like really looking for those things and going, where is this an opportunity for me to practice self-love? And it sounds deep and maybe annoying, but because I there's a part of me that's really, I don't want to even talk about like life coachy buzzwordy things, but I can't not acknowledge that as a historical overachiever, perfectionist, uber connector, lover of others, that piece is important and has been transformative for me this year.
I want to throw a reminder. You know, one of the things that really came into my field of vision in the last couple years especially has been a realization that growth as a concept, in no matter what aspect it is, even if it's an incredibly positive growth, is a very painful process. So now that is actually a positive. So here's the relationship.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you have a company and you double in size, wow, that is work, right? And if you triple
Holy
or quadruple
shit.
Inside and you gotta manage that growth, that is a ton of stuff to deal with. So that itself is painful because it puts workload on you, right? If you have a family and you start having new children, new members, you have marriages, and you have all sudden additions to your family, that requires investment. And it is a suffering because you have to give into that growth. You have to be willing to put in the time to accept that growth into your life. And I was thinking back to being, for me, it was around 12, 13 years old, where my body had a growth spurt and I started getting taller and stronger and muscles started developing. And then all of a sudden that hurt physically. Like my body hurt. You know, I have stretch marks. I'm not a,
Oh my
not a big
gosh,
guy. I
yeah.
have stretch marks because my body grew too fast and the skin stretched, you know? And that physically hurt. And so I'll relate this back to Buddhist mentality that the point of life is suffering. And this is a good thing, right? Suffering is what we are meant to do in such a sense where we are designed for it. We are designed to benefit from suffering. So here's a very easily obvious, relatable example. If you push your body and you stop below its potential, there's no suffering, right? Like you go and you're
Right.
like, oh, I'll go for a light walk today. No suffering involved. There's no challenge to yourself to be able to perform that action is a simpler way to
Yes.
say it, right? We do something well within our capability and we stop way before the limit. There's no pain, no gain, right?
Yeah.
If we push ourselves to the limit, then we start to feel the results of having pushed ourselves and we start to expand upon our potential, but in that there is some suffering involved. There is some pain for the gain of pushing ourselves to our limit. When we push ourselves past our limit, that pain level increases. And this relationship of pain for gain is relatable to our spiritual body as equally as it is to our physical body. So you go to the gym, you know, 3, 4 times a week, you get yourself on a rigorous training routine and you start pushing your physical body to create a different body than the one that you're currently in. And develop your muscles and your cardiovascular system and your respiratory system, and you grow these parts of you. This is analogous to growing your spiritual being and saying, okay, I'm going to challenge myself to be the things that I want to be in my life, and these are going to involve suffering. There's going to involve the challenge of going, oh, but I'd like to fall to my comfort range, which is what I'm so
Yeah.
familiar with and so
Oh,
easy,
yeah.
and I can just default to this, but then there's no gain, right? We
Yeah.
just have to decide, do I truly want gain in these areas? Am I willing to put in the work? Am I willing to feel the pain associated with it? And then I'm going to go back around again to your point once again that the long-term project realization of value is what it all comes down to. So I go, okay, here's one of mine. I default to a comfort in the now of a 10 o'clock at night cookies and milk because that's what I'm like, oh, in this very moment right now, I'm going to feel good because I'm going to eat my cookies and I'm going to dunk them in milk. And right in this very second, my little sketch work project that I'm working on, which is enjoying life and being happy, is satiated. I'm like, I'm happy right now. Yes, I ate cookies, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But bigger picture, my Sistine Chapel is, did I really get better at preparing myself for this greater picture? Did that picture become a beautiful work at art of art on a Sistine Chapel, or is it just a bunch of sketch works where I'm like, did I really grow where I wanted to by eating cookies? And I'm like, well, maybe in this instant I felt gratification, but as soon as I've stopped eating those cookies, it's gone. And overall, my goals involve a stronger physical body and a longer term health and having better self-control and all the pieces that go along with that. So,
I
this is the
love that. It's
relationship.
funny. Like one of my old cookies,
Cookie.
and this is a piece of my growth this year and just years past, more recently, that's connected to what I just shared, is I used to formerly fear disconnection. And I mean this, I've talked about this on other podcasts. I want to share this other podcast episode that I did on another person's show where we expanded into this conversation. But the common fear of disconnection out there that I have definitely experienced in over the course of my growth as a spiritual person and just into my individual self, but is this fear of being disconnected. And so what that used to drive me to do would have I would have anxiety at the thought of separating from people that were maybe not good for me, and that made me not made me, what I would, if I were with someone like that, I would feel anxiety or I'd feel nervousness or situationally even. Maybe it's just a situation that requires me or it would be healthier for me to engage in a more patient way or whatever. Those types of things have helped me recognize that cookie of going, what I would used to do, what the fear would drive me to do would be to connect or reach out or try to rush or do something around connection with another person, yeah, versus being able to rest easily in myself with, you know what I'm saying, with patience and really trusting that separateness is an illusion. You know, that we are all connected. That big universal belief that we are all connected, that separateness is an illusion, that disconnection is an illusion, is really supportive to me as a spiritual mindset and supports me in terms of not taking the cookie of and being able to do those things of saying, I'm going to not engage this situation anymore, this person anymore, this, I'm gonna move forward from this particular growth direction or work direction or whatever. That is a huge, huge growth piece for me, which I'm excited about, because when I don't engage in those fear thoughts and those old ways of being, I have so much more energy and space, not just to practice self-love, yeah, for sure, but also to engage with things that really do enliven me, that feel aligned and ease, but energized and rich, like trust the journey, talking with you, great example. Clearly, I mean, we've talked about this before. I don't need to beat a dead horse about how great how much I love our work together. But it's a good example of engaging in relationship and work and stuff that is aligned, that isn't, I don't fear, you know what I mean? There's no fear of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm pretty stoked about just having the general place of mind to be present to that objective self-observation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this happens for us at different points in our life in different ways. You had me thinking about how oftentimes one of the ways that my own self-observation started occurring was when I would find myself in a circle or conversation with people, and the conversation moves to a conversational structure, which is kind of a storytelling one-upmanship. And this happens.
Oh, gosh, okay.
Right? You know what I'm talking about? Right? So yeah. Somebody shares a experience with whatever intention, positive, negative, balance, whatever that might be, to express something that they experienced. And then there's a default type of reaction that I think many of us can identify with, which is an impulsive countershare of a similar experience or relatable experience that has to do with trying to present a life story that has a similarity, but also says, oh yeah, but my story is a little bit better than yours. In this like egotistical placement. Ugh. Oh gosh. And it's terrible. As a man, I mean, I don't know from the woman's perspective, but as a man, this is highly relevant and highly prevalent in kind of the way that people interact. And I found myself in this process many times, and there's this ego-driven mechanism that's like, oh, now I'll tell mine and mine will be a little bit better than yours, and now the focus will be on me, and right, I'll be the dominant male leaving the story telling session. Right. You know, and it's ridiculous. And when I found myself present to it and actually observing myself being that part of this structure of communication and going, wait a second, is my intention with this communication with these other beings to one-up them egotistically so that I feel dominant when I leave the circle? Or is my intention to truly listen to what it is that they need and allow them the opportunity to be heard and to be present to these other humans and to listen to myself and how I feel about hearing that and relating to that and empathizing with that experience, or deciding whether or not I wish to relate to this person, if they're somebody that's going to be somebody I want to continue growing with, or somebody that I actually want to back away from and not invest more time with. That switch of perspective is such a insightful moment.
Really absolutely. And that's the thing, just really circling back again to intentions of the new year, and what we build those intentions on and what we build our goals on is like that. That's part of it for me too, for sure, is that what do I feel when I feel myself triggered into a fear, recognizing what that is, and then choosing, like you said at the earlier in the conversation, choosing the replacement at choice, you know, in terms of whatever the disconnection thing that I just talked about. Is that okay? I'm not going to do what I used to do, which is sort of feed the beast, take the cookie of you know, whatever, sending a text that then makes me feel not great, you know, or whatever. Instead, using that as an opportunity to practice self-love or to engage in a healthy growth, creative activity, or whatever it is that I choose to replace it with. But I love that in terms of reflection, self-awareness, and then setting goals and intentions and replacement intentional activities or actions from there. It's anyway, I love it all. Go team.
Default. Go team.
Go team. I can't not say that.
Yeah.
I can if I want. I can set a goal to say no, don't say to go team anymore.
Keep going, go team. Keep going.
I'm continuing with go team. That's a 2019 situation for sure. But any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm definitely hashtagging. I think my good friend Rook Nelson nailed it with hashtag growth 2019. I think he's right on point. And it's a relationship to family. It's a relationship to personal. It's a relationship to the society. You know, there's so much growth going on in our society right now, and people really waking up and coming into being. So I'm pretty excited about where 2019 is taking us and what 2020 is going to hold as a result of the growth in 2019.
Oh, I could not agree more. Yeah. Could not agree more.
Wrap?
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Thank you, everyone, for listening and being a part of the Trust the Journey family. For real. That is a huge thing I'm excited about for 2019.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity to be here with you, Melanie, and with our audience. Thank you to everybody who's listening. And if you feel like you receive value from our episodes, if you're listening to this and you would like to help us, please help pay it forward and share it to somebody outside of our immediate circle. Share it to somebody that you think would gain value from it and that it might hopscotch out and help us have greater reach, because really we just want to impact the world in a positive way and open this level of conversation with anybody who's willing to be involved. So if you, Melanie, want to tell us about Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, hashtag growth 2019, again, going back to that, I love it. And it totally is in terms of growing the community, growing the depth and richness of our conversation, growing the frequency of our conversation, and the reach out inside the skydiving community and outside of the skydiving community, just with the world. So obviously, if you are inspired, please connect with us on Instagram, share a screen grab of this episode, share with us your biggest takeaway, post a comment on either Instagram or Facebook or on our website, trustthejourney.today. As like we said at the beginning, follow our individual profiles on Facebook if that's where you prefer to be most.
If you'd like to be directly involved in the conversation with our expanding Trust the Journey family, what you can do is you can connect with us through Patreon. And you can become a Patreon member. If you choose to support the community and mission of what we're doing here at Trust the Journey and become a Patreon member, then the smallest donation gets you to join our Facebook group, where we're going to be expanding this conversation, this practice of openness, honesty, trusting, and vulnerability with you directly. So go to Patreon. You can find the link on our webpage. You can find the link on our YouTube. It's everywhere on the bottom in the comments, right? Patreon.com, Trust the Journey.
Yeah, guys, the Patreon community is exciting too, because that's definitely an expansion of what we're doing, because we really want to deepen these conversations and really open up connections with you and talk to you about what you want to talk about also, given a lot of obviously our episodes are things that we're coming up with. So we welcome your feedback, we welcome your engagement, and that will just be the most rich place to do it. So just, I echo what Jay said. Thank you so much for being here, for being with us. We love you. And remember, keep laughing, keep loving, and keep trusting the journey. Go team. Good job.
I think I'm picking up for your heart.
All right.
Says Mel, but I'm going for it.
Fucking going for it.